Well, it's happening again. Feels like it's been 4 years since I was up here. It's actually been like 6 months, but you know, it's the same difference, really. Someone asked me, like, hey man, when was the last time you cut your hair? I'd be like, 3 years ago. And they'd be like, really? And I'd say, no, but it feels like it. I'd never say that. But, you know, if I was like 80 years old, maybe 3 years old would not be that far off. Three years ago, I should say. But anyways, that was completely off topic. I'm going to read from Psalm 87. I'm going to be reading from the NLT version of the Bible, so it might interfere with one of the pew Bibles or whatever, but just bear with me here. On the holy mountain stands the city founded by the Lord. He loves the city of Jerusalem more than any other city in Israel. O city of God, what glorious things are said of you. Interlude? What is, I don't think that's supposed to be there. I will count Egypt and Babylon among those who know me, and also Philistia and Tyre, even distant Ethiopia. They have all become citizens of Jerusalem. Regarding Jerusalem, it will be said, everyone enjoys the rights of citizenship there, and the Most High will personally bless the city. When the Lord registers the nations, he will say, they have all become citizens of Jerusalem. The people will play flutes and sing, the source of my life springs from Jerusalem. Now, the second I read this, I instantly thought of Springfest, the youth rally that we went to a few months ago in April, I think. The theme of that event was Love Your City, and the speaker, Eric Wilson, who is the associate chaplain at Pepperdine University, he was the one that did the lessons while we were there. And what he talked about in his lessons was that you need to love your city. That's it. No, not really. he talked about how we need to establish a loving relationship with the people of our city, and we as people need to do that, and as a church need to help our city, whether that be through public service, donating to fundraisers to help the city, or just being a nice outgoing person when doing your normal things in the city, or the most important thing, spreading God through the city. There are things you can do every day that can lift people's spirits up. For example, in line at the grocery store, say hi to the person scanning your groceries or whatever. Be nice, compliment them. You know, something like, you're good at scanning. You know, it's not like scanning a barcode is hard or anything, but it makes people feel so much better whenever you compliment them at just the little things they do. And, you know, it can make someone's day, because our day, or everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people today are completely starved of happiness. People who don't know God, people who are just lost in what their purpose is and what they have to do, and they just can't find happiness anymore. Then just simply complimenting them can make someone's day so much better you don't even know. And, you know, like, and you can do this with so many different people. Even the guy, like, mopping the floor or something at a grocery store, it's like, good job, you know. You know, just whatever, like, say hi, be a nice guy, and it makes people feel so much better. But being pleasant only does so much, because you can be the nicest, most caring, thoughtful person ever, but without God, it means nothing. I mean, look at Corinthians 13, and I don't even have to say it in this church hardly, and everyone knows that. So, like I said earlier, the most important thing to do in your city is to spread God through it. And this is a really challenging thing to do. I'm not going to talk about it like it's easy. Christy, I don't know her last name because I could not find any information about her, but she was one of the keynote speakers at the Harbor or Pepperdine Bible Lectures this last May, and she led one of the best lessons I've ever heard. She told a story about how her daughter had a phase when she was little, and that phase was flashlights, believe it or not. She loved flashlights. And one day, when they were at, like, Walmart or something, her daughter asked if she could have this little, like, Barbie edition flashlight, something like that. So she got it for her. It was only, like, $1. And while they were in line, she tried to use that flashlight. But she said something that made Christy, her mom, kind of freeze for a second. She said, "Mommy, we need to find some place that's dark because I can't see the light from the flashlight." That may not seem very special until you realize that that is you and me in our walk to try and spread God to the city. How are we supposed to be lights in the darkness? How are we supposed to be lights in the darkness like God says we should be if we're in the light? How am I supposed to save other people's lives if I just go to church by myself and then go home and do nothing with God until I come back next Sunday? How am I supposed to be a light in the world if I don't give that friend a phone call about coming to church or small group? Or, you know, how is our church supposed to help people if no one knows about our church? If I go outside on a sunny day and shine a flashlight all around, everyone's just going to think I'm insane or something. Like, "Hey, Todd, did you see that guy shine a light in broad daylight? Is he on drugs or something? What's wrong with him?" You know, so, like, how people are going to think I'm crazy and walk on, but suddenly I go to a dark cave where there's people who can't see. They don't know where to go. They're lost. They can't see what's ahead of them. And then I walk into that cave and shine a big flashlight so that everyone can see. Now everyone starts walking towards me and they say, "Thank you so much. Where did you get this light?" And if I say, "God," now they're like, "Well, where's that guy? I'm getting a light from him too. How do I get a light, you know?" If I just sit here in church and sing songs with everyone and talk about God and Jesus with each other, you know, I'm only doing half of my job as a Christian. It's a good thing to go to church and be with all of you guys, but God wants us to do more. And we got to know how to do it effectively. If the only thing we do is invite new people to church, you know, they'll come here and they'll not even understand what we're talking about. And afterwards, they'll just be like, "Yeah, that was weird. I'm going to go to Taco Bell now." You know, like, that's not going to make any sense. And that's not a good way to bring people in. What reason do new people have to worship God? Because we invite them to do it? If they come to church, they're just going to sing because everyone else is singing. They won't know why they're singing. They don't know why they're doing anything. But if I go up to them and I say, "When I was having financial trouble, or when I was in a car accident, or and I almost died, or whenever I was a horrible person, I was an alcohol, drug addict, or whatever addict, God saved me. When I was broken, God mended me. In the darkest of times, the most horrible, wretched parts of my life, God saved me." If you tell them that, that will make them think, "I need God." Back in the imaginary dark cave, they asked me where I got my flashlight, and I said, "God." And they said, "I need that." Now they ask me, "Why are you so happy?" or "Who saved you?" And I say, "God." And they say, "I need God." People don't have a reason to find God until you give them one. People just don't really understand. What good is it for me to tell you why God is so good when you already know? I'm just shining a light into the light. I need to shine my light where it works, not right back where it came from. You telling people about how God saved you or how he helps you is shining your light into the darkness of the earth. As I said earlier, people are begging for happiness nowadays. So if you go up to them and say, "This is why I'm so happy," then they might be interested. When Jesus was alive, he didn't spend most of his time doing other things. He didn't even have a house. He spent all of his time shining his light wherever he went. He spent every day, every hour, every living moment, almost, showing others what God could do for them. And he wants us to do the same, which is why I've actually made a decision. I've told most of you that I'm probably going to college to be an auto mechanic, but some of you know that I've actually changed that. I'm going to be going to Adventures and Missions, or AIM, and being a full-time Christian minister as my job. Because I thought, you know, if I'm going to have my whole life being an auto mechanic, I'm going to be spending 75% of my time as an auto mechanic, but I can be a minister. I consider being a minister, and it's like, if I can be a minister and spend almost all of my time on God, spreading the light on God, doing everything that God wants me to do, why should I not? And that made me decide I would rather shine my light as a career. But not everyone can just decide to change their career on a dime like I can. You know, I haven't even, you know, like, looked for a college yet. So what do you guys do, and how do other people shine their light that already have full jobs or already are busy with something else? Well, something that helps is to know that this life is your work life, for, you know, to God anyways. God gave us this life basically to work for him and to spread the word about him. Oh, what is going on? So, what happened? One second. So, if you ever have an opportunity to teach somebody about Jesus, do it. Share the good news and tell people that they can be free from their struggles. And on top of that, make every decision God-focused. Anytime you have to choose between anything, pick what you think God would want you to pick. God saved us all. He's got an amazing deal for us. Not like a 50% off kind of deal, not a buy one, get one deal. No, this is a, here, take all this free stuff even though you did nothing to get it. No, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness kind of deal. This is a real get out of jail free card. No down payments, no loans, no nothing. But wait, there's more. All you have to do is get this, to get this amazing one-of-a-kind offer is love. Love God, love others, and be a good example. He loves us, cares for us, and has offered us all a spot in heaven next to him for eternity when we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. So we have to do anything to pay him back at least some of what we can. We can never pay back the debt we owe to God, but we can do our best. We should do our best. And we should also spread the word of this awesome deal, as I keep calling it, that God is giving us to everyone we can. And most of all, guys, I just say, just love people. Be nice, be courteous, and pleasant towards people. And not just normal nice, either. We should be so giving and so unbelievably selfless and caring to people that they realize it. And why? Because that makes you stick out like a sore thumb, in a good way. People are so miserable and lost nowadays that when they see someone who's that nice, it puzzles them, makes them ask themselves, why is that person so awesome? If they ask you why, you tell them, it's because God. And boom, you just shine your light into the darkness, like that. So what does this have to do with Psalm 87? I didn't forget about that. Well, David talks about his city. Well, I don't know if it's his city, but he talks about it. It's Jerusalem, and how amazing it is. The reason it's so amazing is because God's light shines in the city. He says in verse 1, on the holy mountain stands the city founded by the Lord. At least it does in my version. So make that your city. Do everything you can to make Ventura, or whatever city you live in, a city built on God. Shine your light into the darkness that is the city, and brighten up the town once again. That's all I got.